the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Our first guest is Belle True, the Chief International Correspondent of The Independent, who today is based in Jerusalem. Belle, thank you very much for joining us. So can you please give us the details of what the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has confirmed?
Well, the Security Cabinet meeting, which was, I was told, tense, fraught, and went on for 10 hours, eventually approved this new plan that would see basically the Israeli military push into the last segments of Gaza, take full military control, and also in their missive afterwards, they said they would disarm Hamas and also basically hold Gaza militarily with a civil administration that would not be run by either Hamas or the Palestinian Authority in the occupied West Bank. So the message coming from the Israeli government is basically no to a ceasefire and very much to what will be an even larger offensive, pushing into the last few percentages of Gaza that they don't already military occupy. And of course, that will also mean the forcible displacement of Palestinian civilians, because they, as far as I'm aware from people who were briefed on the meeting, plan to force everyone to move to the center of the south as part of this plan and as part of the offensive. This, of course, is worrying also the family of the hostages, because they know that their loved ones are also under that bombardment as well.
The areas that they plan to take control of, have they not been in there at any stage over the last 2 years? Because it does seem that they have been moving people all around Gaza while they go into area after area.
When I speak to civilians on the ground in Gaza, they tell me they feel like a chess piece in a deadly game. They get moved from A to B to B to C to C to D, and then they go back to A, and then they get moved back to D again. And that's exactly what's happened. So, for example, the first part of this offensive, from sources I was speaking to, will focus on Gaza City. Israeli military was already in Gaza City before moving on to other areas. They're going to go back in. I've seen Gaza City from the sky just a few days ago. I was on board a Jordanian military plane looking down on Gaza. Swathes of it are already destroyed, but there are elements where of the city that the Israeli military are not currently in. The plan is to go in there to evacuate or forcibly evacuate the civilians. And in fact, one of the sources told me that in that plan, if people do not leave, they will eventually lay siege to the city, which is of course illegal under international law. This applies to other areas of the strip as well, and effectively everyone will be moved down to the center and the south. But that is, problematic in itself. I also flew over the south of Gaza in places like the so-called humanitarian zone called Al-Mawasi, and you could see tents stretching all the way to the horizon. It's already home to hundreds of thousands of displaced people from other parts of the strip. There is no room for people. So the question is, where are people going to go? How are they going to be able to get there? And the answer is, there's probably going to be a massive death toll. The acute malnourished problem will get worse. And of course, the hostages are also in that and at danger too.
Does Hamas have the capability or the will to resist?
Hamas's capability has been severely degraded over the last 2 years. They've lost a lot of their senior leadership. They've lost a lot of land. They are effectively operating from under the ground. They don't have the support internationally like they had before with the, again, Israel's offensive in Lebanon and degraded Hezbollah. And of course, we saw a few months ago the war with Iran. So they are not the same Hamas that existed in 2023. But the theater of war in Gaza is a deeply complicated kind of guerrilla battle, which means that even with all the weapons that Israel have, there is deep concerns from within the Israeli security apparatus that this so-called victory that Netanyahu is promising of disarming Hamas, of completely destroying it, can't even be achieved either. So what we're looking at on the horizon is potentially a forever war, and at least conflict stretching out for a very, very long time, at great risk to all the civilians in Gaza and, of course, the hostages as well.
Right. But do the Palestinian people want Hamas to give up the hostages and give up the fighting, because otherwise the Israelis would just keep coming after them?
I think that it's very difficult to ask that question to Palestinian civilians, because it puts them at risk. And also, quite frankly, they are too busy dealing with the fact that they are under, the most unprecedented intense bombardment and also under a siege. So most of the people I'm speaking to are fighting each day just to get a single bag of flour. They have no control over what Hamas or the militant groups do. They have no idea where the hostages are. So for them, it's almost like a moot question to ask. And, you know, I think it's clear that Hamas is not going to release the hostages completely because they know that that will be their only card. And, you know, Israel's made it very clear that they plan to destroy Hamas irrespective of what happens with the hostages. So, you know, asking Palestinian civilians that question is a difficult one to ask. From Hamas's perspective, it's the only card they've got. And they know that, you know, Israeli government ministers have made it very public that their plan is to destroy Hamas and even Gaza and also, you know, forcibly transfer the population out of Gaza. That's what the extreme right members of the Israeli government have said. So, you know, at the moment, the major call from the UN, from aid organizations, is we do need a full ceasefire, a political, diplomatic solution to this, something that sees long-lasting peace with the release of the hostages, and then a massive aid effort to rescue the lives of Palestinian civilians who are living in an absolutely, you know, horrific conditions that none of us can even imagine.
Is Netanyahu making these people in Gaza the victims of his own personal political needs back in Israel?
This is one of the major fears here, is that, in fact, this is all to do with Netanyahu's own personal situation. He is right now on trial on three different counts of corruption. The concern is that for him, if he doesn't pander to the extreme right members of his coalition, they will leave the coalition, the government will collapse, there will be elections and he won't win. So he loses that sort of semi-protection of immunity he might have as prime minister. The other concern is that there has been no proper investigations into how 7th of October bloody attacks happened in the first place. Netanyahu has not taken responsibility for them. He has blamed his security establishment and intelligence establishment. I think the concern here is that if the war stops, those questions will be asked, the investigation will continue, and, you know, he will have to face that music as well. So the concern is that Netanyahu's focus really is on his political survival, not on the survival of his citizens and his soldiers who are in Israel, and is not interested, of course, in the Palestinian civilians as well. And that's certainly something that's been told to me, not just from the Palestinian side, but from within Israel. You know, sources close to the government are telling me that the military establishment is tired. The reservists don't want to serve anymore. His own military chief said in this 10-hour, you know, Security Council meeting that this was not a good idea. So he is facing a lot of pressure, but he seems to be pushing ahead with it anyway.
Are his military, though, fully in support of him? Do they believe that they can do the job he's demanding of the Israeli military?
In short, from all the people that I've been speaking to, the answer is no. The military chief, Israel's military chief himself, Zamir, in this meeting apparently said that he opposed this plan for a full military takeover of Gaza and suggested his own more sort of watered down version that involved kind of holding different pockets of the besieged strip. I've also been told that reservists are fed up. It's been 2 years now of being called up. There's also a lot of alarm amongst the Israeli population about the death toll from the soldiers. Of course, it's nothing in comparison to the 61,000 Palestinians who've been killed, but it's still a high death toll for an Israeli population, an unprecedented one, in fact. And on top of that, we've actually had public messaging. So former heads of the internal security intelligence forces, the former heads of Mossad, the former heads of the military, a former prime minister have come forward in a public video last week saying this was a terrible idea and this shouldn't happen. We've also had an extraordinary open letter written to Donald Trump by 600 former security and military chiefs, again urging him to intervene and call for a ceasefire. So, you know, all in all, there's an awful lot of anger in Israel against this plan, but still the security cabinet voted on it, so obviously a majority of the ministers agree with it, and the military have told me they will push forward with whatever the political echelon approve.
Politically though, internationally, does Netanyahu have any concerns about losing support? We've seen reports today that Germany, which seemingly would let Israel do almost anything, is now going to stop sending weapons that may be used against the people of Gaza. Does he have any concerns about losing international support?
I can only say I imagine he must do. I mean, that's certainly a feeling on the ground within Israel. The fear is that Israel is becoming an international pariah. The extraordinary announcement today from Germany that is stuck by Israel's side and has actually, you know, not followed in the footsteps of European states in condemning what's happening in Gaza or adding, you know, sanctions or taking any measures. The fact that even Germany has gone as far as to basically impose an arms embargo is quite extraordinary, and it might signal the start of other states doing the same. The UK, for example, has imposed some restrictions on weapons sales to Israel. We know that there's more that they might do. That could be something that happens. We've also had multiple states, including the UK and Canada, talking about, and France, sorry, talking about recognising the state of Palestine. There's a lot of condemnation over the horrific images that are coming out of Gaza, the emaciated children, the horrendous images of people being shot as they're running for aid, you know, the absolute, you know, horror basically on the ground of Gaza. And a lot of, you know, all of that is being put at Israel's door. And that is the biggest concern within Israel, is that Netanyahu is dragging the country into international pariahdom for a victory that cannot be won. And in the process, more lives will be lost, including the hostages and soldiers. And then, of course, from the Palestinian perspective, the death toll is already unimaginably huge. And that is a low number. There are still believed to be tens of thousands of bodies trapped under the rubble. The acute malnutrition crisis, the famine continues. There's no way to fix that if the war continues. The aid that's getting in is not enough. You know, all in all, the situation is horrific. And this Security Council decision will only make it worse.
Well, true from The Independent. Thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.